It's the middle of the night, and you're wondering where your kids are. But it's the news, according to me. Yes, good evening. It's, once again, this evening is Tuesday. It seems like Friday, but it's Tuesday, March 9th, 2021. And I am still traveling, and it's the middle of the night. I told you, if you listen to my last episodes, you should know this is going to be a late night show tonight. Tomorrow morning there will not be a show because I will be traveling again. I got to get up wee early in the hours and travel back to Chicago and then go to Milwaukee and then drive home. So this is a, well, I don't think, now, yeah, there won't be a show. There won't be a morning show tomorrow. There will be an afternoon show at some point tomorrow afternoon. I don't know. I don't think Rabbi Rick will be with me. He's been a little bit under the weather. He's got lots of busy stuff going on, work and life and stuff. So maybe in the coming days he'll be back at it on the show at some point. We're facing a lot of things that are really weird in this country right now. As I had said earlier, they're working to overwhelm the system. So we're seeing legislation and all kinds of things running. I guess the plan is after they've tried to push through this For the People Act thing, this voter rights thing, which federalizes basically the elections. It provides so much federal control over elections that, in my opinion, it's unconstitutional. But which won't really matter because our SCOTUS won't really do anything about that. They don't want to get involved in election law. Trump administration or the Trump campaign, I believe it was the Trump campaign, one of their last lawsuits that went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court rejected a hearing with no comment. No comment. No reason. No excuse, no anything for why they rejected it. Just, we're rejecting it. This is just, there's a lot of really ticked off people out here. You know, I travel around the world. I talk to people of all types, even those on the left. I have to interact with, unfortunately, I have to interact with some folks on the left. And, I love them, but they're the ones that are more a little bit more of a challenge to love sometimes. They're creatures created by God. And if he died for them, I can certainly talk to them if I have to. No, it's just difficult sometimes. So it's been interesting to see how things have unfolded here in the last few days. Joe Biden, apparently there's more pressure, of course. Now it's amazing to me that again everybody's kind of starting to wake up to this the fact that Joe Biden has not really had a press conference. There will apparently not be a State of the Union address, and they keep hiding behind COVID and everything. They can't allow cameras into the detention facilities in or the welcome centers on the border because we because of COVID. COVID. But we can release hundreds of these people that we know have COVID. We know have COVID. They've been tested positive for COVID. You can go ahead. Go ahead, just go wherever you want. Come on in, and take your shoes off. Have a seat. We'll get you whatever you need, and all we want is your vote. Now, there was a time we took in a bunch of refugees from the Middle Eastern areas, and they were going into Europe, and of course all the nations were supposed to take these people in, and we had to take some people in as well, and it was an interesting strategy on the part of BO to relocate people in specific areas. And one of those areas just happened to be Minneapolis, actually. And it's some of the reasons that people like Ilhan Omar got into office, because you get high concentrations of people. But they'll put people in very typically red state or red county areas, because they know this is a long-term, it's a long-term game for them. They're playing the long game on things like this. They want to establish communities of leftists, which is what's going to happen with these populations as well. You watch, they will relocate people. They will place them in specific areas to turn certain places blue. And that's the strategy. So areas where they have some concentrations that they can you know, tip a scale. And as we've seen, it only takes a few counties in certain states to flip the state. So that's what they're going to do. Now you say, well, it's not possible. It's not possible. No. 100,000 people. It was 100 in, I think the official count, which is probably not accurate. It's probably less than what the actual amount is. But the official count from the border has been that about 101,000. 101,000 people crossed the border illegally in February. Now, do the math on that. In a year, how many people is that? A little over a million, 1.2 million. A little over that, actually. 1.2 million people a year. That's crazy. That's crazy. Now you might say, "Well, we need to allow people to come here for freedom and for whatever." We do. We do that. We do actually allow about a million people a year to come in legally. We actually do that. The problem is we could let more in if we had a border system that allowed us to actually do that. But we're not doing that. The illegal border crossings put more strain on the system than having people come in legally. We could take in 2 million people legally. It would be much easier on our system, because we are not, basically they're not hiding people. And it would be much better for them as well. These people live in a, of course, now their whole excuse for wanting to give them amnesty is because, well, we don't want these people living in the shadows. So what are you going to give amnesty every year? Are you going to give amnesty every month to just anybody who walks across the border? Because they're going to give everybody amnesty. Of course, that's what's what this rush is all about. Because they know if they get in now that what they're being told, and they're, you know, that the administration is putting the word out that if you come in within a certain amount of time, we will give you amnesty. If we get a couple million of you here, we'll do that, and we'll provide you with, well, they're already providing them with stimulus checks, believe it or not. I don't get one, but they'll get one. Yeah, I'm paying for that. So that gets really frustrating. Extremely frustrating, and I know. And I, like I said, I travel around a lot, and I hear what people are saying. People aren't happy, and as I have said before, this is not the left wing of the Democrat Party. They may be using the Democrat Party. It's very clear that they're working on taking over the Democrat Party. But these people, their ideology and their philosophy, their worldview, and everything about them, it's not the platform of the Democrat Party, at least not the traditional, in the traditional sense of the word. And the establishment Republicans, who want to go along with this and negotiate with these people, it should be ashamed of themselves. Because the philosophy and the ideology that these Marxists have, that have found a bed to grow in the Democrat Party, is an anti-American, and that's why there's so much hate on the left of the country. There's just, it's incredible how much they hate the flag, they hate the country. Oh, they'll talk, oh, Constitution, rule of law, temple of democracy, oh, goodness. That's not what they're about. They're about maintaining power, control, greed, money. It's pathetic on the part of the politicians that are doing this. And the Republicans, the establishment that is there, who thinks that they can, I'm going to talk to Mr. Schumer about how we're going to share power. That's, you're cozying up to an evil ideology. You're making deals and compromises with something that's not just a different party. This is a different philosophy altogether. And I'll just call it what it is. In my opinion, it's just evil. It's enslavement. It is not liberty. The opposite of liberty is not, how does Obama say it? He said the Constitution is a document of negative liberties. Negative liberty is, the negative liberty would be slavery, wouldn't it? The opposite of liberty, the other side of liberty would be slavery. The negative liberties are the, where we have liberty and we are liberated from government tyranny. That's what liberty is about. We are liberal in the sense that we are liberated from tyrannical government. That's why the Constitution limits government. His speech here, his talk was, this is what he taught in academia. He said the Constitution is a document that tells the government what it can't do, but it doesn't tell the government what it should do for you. And this is the point where we come down to of whenever the government thinks that it's taken the place of the agency that gives you your rights, they are the agency then that has the ability to take those rights away. Whatever the government gives you, they can take away. They can control. They can manipulate. They can hang over you. They can feed you with something that gives you a sense of entitlement to the point that it will never be taken away. And if they do take it away, there will be a revolt. So these things happen, and then so people become entitled to programs and funding and money and all the other things that are out there. We'll just go about our daily lives and be the chattel, be the serfs, the slaves, basically, the indentured servants to our government leaders, and they will sell out our futures by borrowing more money. It's ridiculous. When you go to buy your house, when you go to buy a car, when you go to buy something on credit, you are telling someone, I am going to pay you with my future income that I have to go out now and work and make to pay you for. And of course, in order for you to live the American dream, you must borrow money. This is the way they enslave you from the beginning. Young people all over the country, a lot of them start off with college and college debt. So they let you take out a student loan and you rack up $80,000 in debt going through college. And then you spend the rest of your life paying that off. Now they're talked about college debt amnesty, which is totally unfair as well to those who've paid for their college. But that's the whole point. It's just give money away, spend money. And how does that work? I know that the banks, well, let's we'll get into that at the moment, how the whole student loan program now works, because that fell under the student loan program, actually fell into and was completely taken over by the government in the, guess what that was a part of when we had to pass the bill to find out what was in it? The Obamacare bill allowed the government to take over student loans. And by that, I mean, you still get a loan through the bank, but it's government guaranteed loan. So that gives them the ability to control things as well. So we have this ideology now that is directly opposed to personal liberty, individual liberty and freedom. And we start giving out special rights by giving people protected class. It all sounds great. This is now a protected class. The color of your skin makes you a protected class. This is a grouping that they're working on, because there is a method by which people in battle will divide and conquer. And they will attack a particular segment, and then they'll group them off into particular segments, and that makes them easier to overcome. Because if I'm just attacking, I'm only attacking these people, then you can actually, the other people don't care. Oh, I'm not one of those, so they're not going to attack me. And then they keep whittling away at all these different groups, and then by the end of the, at some point there's no more groups left to defend yourself with. And that's kind of what they're doing, in a sense, spiritually and economically and academically with, and philosophically, with our society. They're dividing us up into groups, corralling them in, drawing them in, making promises, and turning them against other groups with all kinds of media. Look at the media, the way the media lies about so many things. Just such ridiculous things. And this continues. And the media is complicit in all of this. They'll continue to drum it. Not the talking points, the words that they'll use, just like the deadly or the bloody insurrection on January 6th, for instance. It really was only one way, deadly on one way, in one way, on one side. The officer, Sicknick, was not killed by rioters. And I think everyone would agree that anyone who there were people who were inside the Capitol building that day who, I guess, part of the issue was that there were throngs of people behind them pushing, pressing in. Now, the amount of people that were actually pushing into the Capitol was actually a fairly small amount of people. There were people there, and they were protesting, but there were people, you can watch the videos all day long on YouTube. There were people standing around saying, no, don't break in, stop them, this is Antifa, no, we're not going to do this, we're not going to destruct, no destruction, nothing. And yet Christopher Wray has the audacity to step up in front of Congress and say that there was no Antifa, there were no fake Trump supporters at the Capitol breach. And yet there are people who were anti-Trump individuals who have posted online video going into the Capitol. So how does that work? When I can, with my own eyes, my own ears and eyes, hear these people and the things that they have said, they are definitely not Trump supporters. And yet there was no evidence that these people were there. Do they even get out of their chair? Do they even turn on a television? Do they even know about this thing called the internet or YouTube or Facebook or any of these things that people post things on? Do they just sit around and wait for evidence to fall into their office under their desk from up above the ceiling or something. No evidence of voter fraud. We saw these boxes being opened in the middle of the night after they shoot everybody off, and we started running ballots through the machines several times. And as soon as we found out that people were coming back to monitor them, we got out of the building. You just missed them. We saw cardboard being covering over windows. We saw poll watchers being locked out of facilities, being rejected from facilities. Even those who had permits weren't allowed into facilities. These are federal crimes, and the FBI has complete jurisdiction over this. And yet, no evidence. We see no evidence of widespread voter fraud. No evidence of voter fraud. Well, have you looked? Apparently, this is pathetic, and it makes them look stupid. It makes them look incompetent and impotent, and they don't seem to care. Well, why should they care? The media is not going to call them out, because right now the media, they're filling their agenda. And yet everybody I talk to, even the people on the left, when you say anything about it, yeah, well, there was some voter fraud. Oh, yeah, that probably was voter fraud. But they, they'll say, well, there wasn't any widespread voter fraud. It wasn't enough to affect the election. We're talking 7 or 8 counties here. 7 or 8 counties could have flipped this election. So don't give me that. And it's that philosophy, and it's coupled with that kind of power in the media that we're up against right now. Because this ideology that's bringing about political correctness, that's bringing about the For the People Act, that's bringing about the rights, equal rights, special rights thing, equity act, all this stuff. Now, as soon as they get all this stuff kind of gone through, I don't think that the For the People Act is going to pass the Senate. I know of some people who are in the Senate right now, at least, who are saying, even a couple of Democrat senators who are saying they're not going to vote for this. They have to get 50 senators and then have Kamala, our future president. They're already starting to juice this one up. There are now billboards going up all over D.C., and you're going to start seeing them. You're not just going to see them in D.C. You're going to see them all over the country now, with Kamala emerging. You're going to see more and more of her in the publications and the promotions of things. They need to promote her now. Get her face out there. And every time I see a picture of her face, it's always got this cackling smile, laugh type thing going on. Folks, this woman is unstable. And I don't know. I think I'd rather have Joe in there than her. Nancy's pulling something too. And I don't know exactly what's going on here, but Nancy Pelosi's doing something right now. And I don't understand. What I see is that she wants to be the commander-in-chief for a while, and I'm not sure how that's going to work now. I know that technically, if something happens to Joe Biden, initially, Carmella will step in as the acting president, but is not the president. There's a process, and I believe Congress has to be involved in that process for the VP to become the president. This has happened in the past, and I think it has to go through. When you think about how Gerald Ford ended up becoming president, he was sworn in when Nixon resigned. There is a process that enables that. Now, he or she would be the acting POTUS until such formalities were complete. Now, My understanding is she's not automatically a shoe-in for the job. So they could pick someone else. And they can even pick a second, or there can be another VP actually put in. However, I don't think it's going to go that way. Something doesn't look right about what they're doing right now. And Joe is obviously getting worse. He reads from a teleprompter every time he speaks, but he's not doing that very well. He's starting to even get lost with a teleprompter. And when he gets off the teleprompter, he's in trouble. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Can't remember names. Can't remember what to call the Pentagon. Those folks over there at their organization. He starts to stammer. He starts to get confused and doesn't know names. He sounds like a very tired old man who shouldn't be where he's at. When he goes to take questions, they cut his feed. When he goes to, his handlers usher, they shoo him off the stage immediately, or into the car, or whatever it is. And yet, Circle Back Psaki has the audacity to say that, oh, he's taking all kinds of questions. He's taking questions every time. He's had all kinds of pressers. No. Presidents will typically step into the press corps and do what Circle Back Psaki has been doing. However, that there's also this thing of they gotta give them their questions ahead of time, and I don't know if that's happening now or not. I don't know if people went along with that or not, but it seems as if people are asking questions off the cuff, at least to some degree. I'm pretty sure that if Joe were to step into that podium to answer questions, they would have that all rigged. It would be all the questions would be known ahead of time, and they would have all, he would either have something in his ear or some kind of teleprompter to tell him he'd have notes in front of him to tell him how to answer the questions. Because we have an extremely dire situation here with Joe Biden. He's not running the show. As I've said, he's not getting up in the morning and telling people what the agenda will be for the day. It's the other way around. Okay, Joe, you're up now. We need to put your daytime diaper on now. We're going to put you into this little stand here, and you're going to read this little speech that we wrote for you. And then we're going to go off and have some pudding. And then, yeah, that's your favorite. And you can play with the dogs. Speaking of dogs, I guess one of the dogs, one of the Biden dogs bit somebody. That's in the news. That's in the news. That's important. But we're not hearing anything about what's going on in the Middle East right now. Or what's happening at the border, which is turning into a major crisis. And you got people showing up at the border, these pictures that are staged now, and they're taking pictures of them in Biden t-shirts saying, Mr. Biden or President Biden, let us in, or whatever it is. I don't know what they're saying. Those people didn't stop off in Central America there and at a tourist stand and buy those t-shirts. Those t-shirts are being supplied to them. And it is absolutely absurd what they're doing. This is the administration is down there actively involved in getting people across the border. And once they get here, they're look at all these voters coming in. We'll take care of you. So this is where we're at. And, middle of the night on a Tuesday, I just, again, feel like it's important to realize that we need to be aware of what's going to be happening. We're only 2 months into this, folks. Not even 2 months. This is what, March 9th. We got another 10 days before we're 2 months into this. And again, legislation, they will overwhelm the system with all kinds of legislation. The next thing they're going to put out that's right behind all this, and it's actually on the floor now, it's actually proposed in the House, is anti-gun legislation. They are going to try to put some federal rules in place that will make the gun ban from the 70s, from what was it, the 90s, it's going to look like, that's going to look like child's play compared to what they're going to do. They're also talking about paying for all this by hiking taxes. Isn't that great? That's just great. So as gas prices continue to rise, and I've heard estimates of well over $3 a gallon, probably closer to $4 a gallon by summertime. And this is going to extremely exacerbate the problem, because now they will play it. This happened during the Obama administration. They'll do the same thing. I guarantee you, they'll do this. It's the same playbook. When the gas prices go up, they'll say, "Oh, this is a good sign, because that means the economy is coming back, because there's the demand for gasoline again, and that's why the price is going up." No, it's because you stopped production. We're no longer we're going to become dependent once again on Middle East oil, on foreign oil. We're not going to be a net exporter of energy. We're going to be dependent again, because, you know, windmills and green stuff and global whatever, weather changes. So I just thought I'd, you know, throw this little show out there tonight to just lift you up with all this great news. Yeah, it's folks, if you got your hope in money, if you have your hope in the government, if you think the government is going to protect you and solve all your problems, I'm here to tell you right now, do not depend on the government for that, because it's going to let you down. There's other places that you can put your investments of, you know, hope and trust is an investment, and you need to put that in your faith in God and His Word, in your family, and that's where, you know, you should invest your time, your efforts, your community. So as I come up here on the end of the show, let me just continue to say this. What we're facing is more than just a political difference. It is an ideological, philosophical difference in a worldview. And it is very much government-centric, not individual-centric, which flies in the face of everything the founders of this country were enlightened with, and the reason that they wrote and constructed the Constitution. So we can't compromise with that. You can't make a deal with that, because this is not there's no middle ground here. And a lot of people in the establishment want to believe that there is, because they're so blinded by their own drunken power state and their lust for money and everything else that they have. So we, the people, need to continue to be engaged in what's going on with our government. Take an active role. Write your congressman. Write your senators. Tell them that, hey, your job is to defend my individual rights, not somehow create special rights that take away my rights. I'm not a protected class. I'm not a protected group. We don't need that. We just need individual rights protected. So, as we work our way through this week and we see the things unfolding around us, let's just continue to move forward and continue to fight for each other. Because this is definitely a battle of ideologies. So. Well, folks, tomorrow we'll have another show. We're not going to have a show tomorrow morning, but have a great night and take care. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening.